This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. COVID-19 has changed the way we eat, the way we work, the way we go to school, and even, and you know this is true because I see you, even if I can't see you, the way we dress. And we all know because video calls, am I right? And if you are into fashion, then you might feel that you're in a bit of a rut. So we've called Robin Givhan to kind of shake us free. She is the Pulitzer Prize-winning writer at The Washington Post who focuses on fashion. Robin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with what we're wearing, those of us who are working from home. Perhaps we haven't been putting as much effort as we could into our attire. So Robert, what are you seeing? Is everybody just staying in their sweats?
Well, you know, this is what I'm hearing. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people who are essentially dressing from the waist up. You know, the bottom half is, you know, sort of yoga pants and shorts and, well, hopefully pants of some sort.
I hear there have been some slip-ups, unfortunate slip-ups that have...
There have been some unfortunate slip-ups. Beware the wide-angle shot. On top, you know, it's a bit more professional.
So
but I think people are getting a little bit, they're tired of that. I mean, even if they are sort of stuck in their rut, they recognize that they are, in fact, in a rut.
In a way, are some people, I'm wondering if you're hearing from this, and you might not hear this because people know that you are interested in fashion. Are some people in a way relieved that they don't have to worry so much about, or they think they don't have to worry so much about what to wear?
Well, I think in the beginning, when a lot of people started working from home, there was this sense of relief that they no longer had to, you know, get dressed up and go into an office. But I do think that the relief after a while started to sort of shift into this sense that, you know, the days were beginning to blur. The time was beginning to blur. There were no boundaries between, you know, personal life and professional life. And I think clothing is one of the markers that helps us to sort of mark the time of day, that helps us to remember, you know, when to step away from work and when, you know, we're in our professional mode.
So let's get into a listener question about bigger changes in the industry. And I'm sure you've been doing some reporting on that. This is Toria in Miami. Let's hear.
I am a recent fashion design student graduate down in Miami. And what the conversation that I've been hearing and floating around and I'm curious about is more not just the fashion industry, but the retail side of the industry. I've noticed that there have been announcements of large companies going bankrupt. And it's just a conversation of what's going to happen next in regards to brick and mortar stores. We see that people are wanting to shop less and less. Obviously, everything has been closed. So my question is, what's going to happen next in the fashion industry?
What do you see, Robin?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the industry is struggling like so many. And the first retailers to tumble really were the weakest. You know, J. Crew, for instance, filing for bankruptcy, has been, you know, a suffering company for a long while. Neiman Marcus was not in the best shape. I think what was surprising is to some degree was to see a company like Nordstrom announce some closures because it was sort of perceived as, you know, a healthier company within that sort of luxury realm. But, you know, I actually think and I have heard from some of the smaller independent boutiques that if they can just survive this, they will be in, to some degree, a stronger position than some of the department stores. There's really a backlash within the fashion industry with department stores, which have for so long had such a big impact and have sort of ruled the roost and have in many ways been the impetus for a lot of the ills that have plagued the industry.
What about for stores that can open or might be preparing to, even some of the smaller stores, the boutiques that you said might be sort of in a meta level and in a stronger position? Do we have any sense of how this might work? I mean, Do you remember that, you know, back in, obviously this is before your time or mine, that, you know, back in the day, you know, trying on clothes in the store is a civil rights issue, right? Because certain people were allowed to try on clothes, certain people weren't. Is there some talk about nobody being allowed to try on clothes or things of that sort? Any sense of what it might look like?
Well, you know, my colleague wrote a piece about what some of the stores were doing that have been able to open. And, you know, one of the things that they've been doing is trying to display the clothing in such a way that it requires less touch by customers to get a sense of what they really look like. I think that they're going to have better, more closely trained sales representatives who can give people a really clear idea of the fit of a garment so that there's less of a need to try things on. But ultimately, it's something that can't really be avoided, particularly with women's clothes where sizes are not standardized. And so the real question is just going to be, will the stores be able to sterilize those clothes in between try-ons? How long will that take? How long will those clothes be, you know, off the floor? So that's one hurdle. You know, and the other is just the social distancing that has to go on in the dressing rooms, perhaps keeping one dressing room open between customers. But there have been some other things that people have tried, which is to try and rely on artificial intelligence and 3D imagery to give people a sense of how something looks on them without actually having to physically put it on.
Just as briefly as you can, Robin, you know, of course, online is sort of all the news right now. Is there any sense that stores could pivot to that as their primary mode of operation as quickly as you can?
Yeah, I think there's absolutely emphasis on that. Amazon is partnering with a lot of smaller brands to sell their merchandise. So I think there will be a focus on it, but I think it's going to be hard for independent brands to do it alone because that requires a lot of back-end work.
That's Robin Gavan, fashion critic at The Washington Post. Robin, thanks so much for talking to us once again, and you stay safe.
You too.
And next time I'll ask you what you're wearing. And if you haven't heard, next week is the last week of the National Conversation with All Things Considered. We're going to miss you, but we want to hear your stories and answer your questions before we go. Tomorrow, comedian Retta, you might remember her from her role in the sitcom Parks and Rec. She'll be talking about how laughter can help you get through hard times. If you have questions for Retta, send them to npr.org/nationalconversation. Go to social media, use the hashtag NPR Conversation, or call us and leave a message at 202-403-0386. I'm Michelle Martin. My co-host Ari Shapiro will be here tomorrow. And this is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.